Choir will be back with one final number in just a few minutes. My name is Jim Harrison. I serve as one of the vice presidents at the university, and it is my privilege to travel with the group. One of the great things about traveling with a group like this is you get to hear the concert many times, and I actually enjoy it each time that I hear it. And, you know, you look at all the musical talent that you have on this group, and you probably think all of them are music majors. And yet, as looking through the program, counted up, there are only 11 music majors, if you count music ed and those that are majoring in music, out of a group of 50. But these are individuals that say, you know what, this is God's gift, music, and it's a way to glorify God. And they will use that, really, all of their life. My family met in Houghton Lake, Michigan. The purpose of that meeting was to memorialize my grandfather, who passed away just a few days earlier, 2 weeks short of his 102nd birthday. Granddad, as we called him, was the first that we know in our family that trusted Christ as Savior way back in 1930. It was a John R. Rice Sawdust Trail evangelistic meeting. And it's from the impact of his life, my grandmother trusted Christ as Savior, her brother, my only uncle, and it was through their testimony that my dad got saved, and then all my brothers and sisters and cousins on my uncle's side. And as we met that day, we talked about the impact that Granddad had on our life. And I could not help but think, what impact will my life have for the cause of Christ? There's a passage that we're going to look at, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, that talks about making an impact for Christ. Now, I'll say on the onset that this passage is not talking about salvation. The writer doesn't imply that if you run hard enough and maybe if you fight with all your might and compete that somehow you can earn salvation. Salvation is a gift of God that we appropriate through faith by grace. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. And so the Christian life is clearly in view here as Paul reaches into the athletic world, something he does on a regular basis, and pulls some metaphors from the athletic world to drive home this point, how we can make an impact for the cause of Christ. Notice 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate or disciplined in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. There are three concepts here relative to making an impact for the cause of Christ. If we want to make an impact for the cause of Christ in our life, we need to have these in here. Number one, found in verse 24, is this. We have to have the desire to make a difference. The desire to make a difference. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. So run that ye may obtain. I mean, he looks at the athletic world, Paul is, and he has a foot race in view. And we're not certain if he is maybe picturing the marathon, 26 miles or so, or is he looking at a short sprint, 100 meters? We're not certain, but the idea is that when there is a foot race, there is only one winner. But that is a winner that is intent on winning and gives his very all. And Paul is saying that what we as believers need to do is have the same desire. We need to put our every effort into living for Christ and making an impact for His glory. Now, I enjoy running. I've run all of my adult life. And I remember, probably late 20s, I was probably at the the top of my running at that time, being just in my 20s or so. And I was running a 5K race, 3.1 miles, at the Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, Canada. And family went up there and met my wife's uncle, and who was a cross-country coach in Sault Ste. Marie. And he was going to run the race with me. And while we were warming up, he introduced me to two seventh graders, a guy and a girl, on his cross-country team at the junior high. And I remember thinking to myself, this is really neat. Here's a large road race, hundreds of runners, and a couple of kids going to get some good road experience here in this race. And I thought that's really neat. Well, of course, the race started and we're all running, and I had set a good pace for myself and was at a personal record, if I could maintain that particular pace. But about two-thirds of the way through that race, I'm running, and I notice somebody about to pass me. And I look to my right, and it was this seventh-grade boy that was about to pass me. And I said, I'm not going to let a seventh-grade boy beat me. So I picked up the pace, tried to stay just a step ahead of him, and after a while, I realized that I can't maintain this pace. So I swallowed hard and said, okay, kid, you can have it. That wasn't the end of it, because not long after that, I looked to my left, and here was the seventh grade girl about to pass me. And that, I said, I can't let that happen. So again, I picked up the pace, tried to stay ahead of her, but couldn't maintain it. Had to really swallow my pride and say, okay, girl, go at it. And that day, both the seventh grade girl and the seventh grade boy beat me in that race. Now, what's significant about that? Well, the fact is that even though they beat me, they didn't win the race either. That race was won by just one individual. A world-class runner he just tore up the pavement that day and crossed the finish line first. And while that's the way it works in a road race, that's not the way it works in the Christian life. The fact of the matter is, we're not competing against one another. What we're doing is we're serving a great God, and what we have to do is run with intent. We have to have the desire to make a difference in other lives. When I was preaching in a church in southern Michigan, and in my message, I just happened to mention that I grew up in Farmington Hills, Michigan, the corner of Farmington and 8 Mile. After the message, after the service, I was standing around talking, and a lady came up to me. She was a grandmother by this time, and said, I noted the coordinates where you grew up, Farmington and 8 Mile. She said, as a little girl, I lived at the corner of Farmington and 8 Mile. I said, well, that's neat. I said, what specific street did you grow up on? I grew up on Edmonton. She said, well, I grew up on Kirby. Kirby was just one block away. That was, of course, the street that my grandparents lived. We called them, Nan and Granddad. And so I said, now, my grandparents lived on that street. Did you happen to know Richard and Florence Erickson? And when I said that, her face lit up. She said, you know what? It was your grandparents that took me to church as a small girl. And it was there that I trusted Christ as Savior. She said, when I was about 12, my family moved away. I haven't seen them in this now 50 years. And she says, let them know what's going on, that in God's providence, I married a godly man, and now we have several children that know the Lord and are serving the Lord and some grandchildren. And I couldn't help but think, had the impact of a life who says, I want to make a difference in others, and I want to serve the Lord. And so the first ingredient is a desire to make a difference. The second ingredient here is the discipline to stay focused. Notice he said, "And every man that striveth for the mastery," or to win in whatever event that he is temperate or disciplined in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, we an incorruptible. And so if we want to make an impact for the cause of Christ, what we have to have is the discipline to stay focused. Now discipline is typically carries with it a negative connotation, doesn't it? I remember as a kid, if my mom said, you are going to be disciplined by your dad, that was never a good thing. Okay, never. As an adult, if I say, I'm going to discipline myself to do whatever, it usually means now I can't have ice cream and I can't have potato chips or something like that. It always is negative. But really, discipline is simply the ability to stay focused on whatever goal you set. What Paul is saying here is that what we need to do is have the discipline to stay focused on what is most important in life. And sometimes what happens is we get so involved in the day-to-day routine that we never stop to ask ourselves the question, am I doing that which is most important for my Savior? Now, in the memorial service for Granddad, one of my sisters got up and talked about a conversation that she had had with Granddad just a couple of weeks earlier. Now, he was, for 101, he was in pretty good shape and a brilliant, keen mind. And he said, you know, when you're my age, you have a different view on life. He said, what's important to me is my relationship with my Lord and my relationship with family. You know, I thought that was interesting. He was not talking about the homes that he owned or the career that he had with AT&T or his portfolio or the hobbies that he had. No, he narrowed it down to that which is most important. And what we have to do in life, if we want to make an impact for the cause of Christ, is to discipline ourselves to stay focused on that which is most important. But there's a third and final ingredient that we see in this passage. In his verses 26 and 27, here Paul shifts from the second person plural to the first person singular. And he says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Not only do we need the desire to make a difference, the discipline to stay focused, but we need the determination to remain usable. The fact of the matter is that if we're not careful, we can allow the sins of this flesh to detract from the impact that we can make for the cause of Christ. Somebody asked D.L. Moody, which people gave him the most trouble? He answered immediately, I have more trouble with D.L. Moody than any man alive. And we know of individuals who at one time ran strong and had a vibrant testimony for the Lord, but because they did not keep their body in check and the lust of the flesh in check, that they're no longer making an impact the way that they should. Certainly God can forgive and God can restore fellowship, but it has an enormous impact when we allow sin in our life. During the 1988 Summer Olympics in Seoul, South Korea, there was a 100-meter race that was shaping up as they noted that Carl Lewis from the United States and Ben Johnson of Canada both made the finals along with others. As they gathered there at the finals, the gun sounded, the men raced down that track. Ben Johnson of Canada clearly went ahead of the pack and crossed the tape first. Celebrations raced across Canada. They had won the coveted 100-meter race, and it was the first of their gold medals of that year. But that celebration was short-lived because it was determined that Ben Johnson was using performance-enhancing drugs, and he was disqualified from that race. His record removed from the Olympic record book, his gold medal taken from him and given over to Carl Lewis. He didn't play by the rules. You know, if we want to make an impact for the cause of Christ, what we have to have is a desire to make a difference. The discipline to stay focused and the determination to remain usable. You know, as I sat there at that memorial service, I said, I'm not sure I'll live to be 102, but I hope that my life, however long it will be, will impact others for the cause of Christ like Granddad did. How will your life impact others for the cause of Christ? Now's the time to be thinking about that. Now's the time to focus on that. And I trust that we'll leave here with a renewed determination to say, you know what, I want to make an impact for Christ. If you're here today and you do not know the Lord, you're not certain where you would spend eternity if you were to stand before the Lord today, we would love to talk with you and show from God's Word how you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt You have a relationship with God, an eternal destiny with Him. Seek us out after the service. We would love to show you from God's Word. Thank you, Lord, for the music. Pray, Lord, that we would all make an impact for Your glory. And we'll give You the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Caleb.